This episode is brought to you by OmniSend, who provides you with pre-migration with their email and SMS services, and WooCommerce, building a flexible and scalable e-commerce site the open source way.
This is Adam Weeks from openchannels.fm, and I'm here at CloudFest and sitting in a carousel, tent type of situation. At CloudFest, you never know who you're going to run into, and I've run into three incredible gentlemen who are going to share how a host and security companies come together to work together for the end user. And so I'm just going to let them introduce themselves. We're going to start off with Andrew. Andrew, would you mind introducing who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Andrew Killen. I am the CTO for SurfBolt. We are a performance host, focus on that the most. Basically, we build everything from the ground up, which gives us about 40% more performance on the same hardware as other people. I've been doing the web now since 1994, when I was Intel's internet engineer.
And I'm Aaron Campbell. I am VP of product at Monarchs. We help hosts address malware and security issues. We take a very unique behavior-based approach to identifying and finding malware that is a much more effective approach, especially in the modern world of AI-created malware.
Yeah,
good.
And I'm Mark Virkos. I'm the head of marketing at PatchStack. And I think we can be best described as a good hacker army that specializes in finding vulnerabilities in the WordPress ecosystem, of which there are many and a growing number. We basically help web hosts and agencies mitigate those vulnerabilities sort of faster than hackers can find out about these new threats.
That's fantastic. Mark, I was excited to walk by your booth, and I think you have the most creative booth at CloudFest. People getting permanent tattoos, a reminder of CloudFest 2026. That's pretty special booth you guys have over there.
Yeah, thanks. So the booth is an excuse for me to actually get a free tattoo.
There you go.
And expense it to the company. And then, masquerade it as like a marketing stunt.
So that's awesome.
I have a budget and a free will, basically. So.
I love it. So, Mark, you're sitting next to Aaron, who is also from a security company, and talking to Andrew from Servable, a hosting company. I'd love to a little bit know, like, how does it work that there's two security companies that are happily working together to serve SurfBolt's customers? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it actually always should have worked. So I feel like, in the past, maybe especially in enterprise with hosting companies, security has always been something like a cost center you want to consolidate. Mm-hmm. So you buy like a massive suit. It promises to do everything, like DDoS protection, bots, vulnerabilities. It has WAFs. You roll everything into one product. But the problem with that is that, hackers are pretty smart. And there's attack vectors are very different. Mm. So really you can't, I don't think there's any one tool that solves everything all at once. So with security, you have to approach every attack vector with a slightly different solution. Because these attack methods are very specific. So we look at vulnerability exploits. In WordPress, they are very, very context sensitive. And it's not something that regular firewalls can flag. Plugin vulnerabilities such as they are if a plugin tells the hacker that, yes, it's okay to do this weird thing to this website, a regular firewall will go that sounds good to me, go right in. But but we only do vulnerabilities, right? So we don't want to do malware scanning. We don't want to do other stuff. We want to laser focus on one thing. And that's how you got to approach security. You got to have, something at the server layer. Yeah. We operate on the application layer. We want something on a network. You want something for bots. At the end of the day, also user is a security layer. So, everything
absolutely.
We do wouldn't work if your user has no 2FA and pizza 123 as a password. So it's a complex system. Security is a system, right?
How did you guess my password?
I gotta go do a thing right now.
Oh man! So that's great. PatchStack is doing the good work. Sitting next to Aaron. Aaron, as we were talking, about AI, and you know, I'm really excited about AI. You know, people have told me that AI is going to solve all of my problems. I don't have to worry about it. It's going to do
That's
it for
great.
Me. You know, life is good.
Can't wait.
Can you? Are you going to pop my bubble that maybe I should have some concern about AI? What's happening these days?
I mean, AI is great. It's such a cool, fun, interesting time to be doing stuff in our tech space because it is really changing the way everything works. It is changing it for us and for the malicious actors. And so there is a downside to it. You know, we've seen, thinking back on some of the numbers that I pulled kind of working into coming into this event, mm-hmm. I looked back to when AI really launched in a popular way in like 2022.
Sure.
And year over year, unique malware files that we have found and processed, it doubled from 2022 to 2023. It was like 2.2x for the next year, 2.8x for the next year. And you know, last year we saw 8.6 trillion unique malware files.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That feels like a big number.
It's a lot. And when you start seeing that numbers like that, you start realizing why maybe you need multiple companies because someone needs to focus very heavily on the malware space, just like a patch stack needs to focus very heavily on that application layer and that WordPress specialty, because the volume and the uniqueness of attacks now is so different that layered approach of blocking at the network, then blocking at the server, then blocking in the runtime, you really need quality protection at each of those layers. And so we own one of those layers and we think that we own it the absolute best of everyone, and we're focused at it and becoming experts. And that's just, we can't do that at every, like, we can't give that quality at every single layer, and I don't think anyone can.
Wow. So what we're seeing with AI is, and what you're doing is kind of this arms race that everybody has more tools and more tools. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes. I mean, so I think that in the past, there's always been malware since the beginning of computers, right? And some of it was better than others.
I think malware was like the second program written.
Probably. And the thing is, there used to be some malware that was difficult to get. Some people could write some really good complex, like polymorphic malware that self-modified and was very hard to track down and chase. But that was the exception, not the rule. And now people are just telling AI, take this one bad thing, that this one piece of malware that's relatively simple, but that I use as a backdoor, and make it modify itself, make it hide better, make it. And the AI is capable of doing that. So suddenly everyone has these like really intense capabilities of making very difficult to track down malware. And so it is an arms race, because now we can no longer do what you used to do for malware, which was you'd look at a file, you'd say that's bad, you'd make a unique identifier, probably a hash of that file, that says we've seen this, we know it's bad. Every time you see this hash, that's a bad file. You can't do that anymore, because they'll take that same file and say, okay, make me a million different versions of this that all look a little different.
That's terrifying.
And so now you have to look at like behaviors. What does that file do? And do these million different files do the same thing? Then they're all the same thing and they're all bad. And so you have to take a whole different approach to it. It's absolutely an arms race.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's getting scary. So Andrew, you're on the front line working with clients. You're serving their needs. You're serving their files. And everything was going fine, hunky dory. Server was humming along. What was the impetus to say, "Hey, we need some partners to help us make sure that we are serving our customers well"? What have you been seeing?
We saw quite a few sites getting hacked. Simple as that.
Okay.
It became really apparent that it was a massive problem.
Okay.
It wasn't like we were getting hundreds or whatever, but when you get over double figures, that's when you think, hey, hang on, this really needs some attention.
Okay.
And so I've known Oliver from Patchtack for years. Mm. He used to run a Facebook group and had him come in and do an AMA. So yeah. It was an obvious choice to go and speak to him.
Okay.
It was just, yeah, okay. So I reached out to him, and our former CEO met up with Monarchs.
Okay.
I can't remember what event it was, but we started looking at it. Can we make something that covers that and a little bit more? So we have Patchtack, obviously, for all the kind of vulnerabilities in the software. We had all the malware checking for Monarchs. We set up an IP blocking situation mm-hmm. where customers themselves can type in blocks, IP addresses or ranges. And also we set up geo security, where you can okay. choose which countries are either whitelisted or blacklisted.
Wow.
So you can go, okay, I'm in America. I've only got American clients.
Sure.
I'm only going to whitelist that.
Okay.
And that just cuts down on the amount of traffic that comes to us.
Yeah.
We have everything going through Cloudflare, so we only allow their IP addresses to get to our servers.
Yeah.
And that creates quite a good security.
Mm-hmm.
Is it perfect? No, we're still looking to expand and
okay.
do something that's like a software firewall kind of thing. We're looking at Blackwall at the moment, but it's disappointing for us. It doesn't offer the flexibility that we need
okay.
to keep performance there. Adding like 50 to 100 milliseconds, which to us is
too much.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we don't want to go down that path if we can help it, but we need to find something for fraud protection.
Okay.
And they're looking like a really good solution. Yeah. Where we end up, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm really hoping to find something much better.
You're optimistic.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron.
I love the bringing performance into the security talk here, because there's always trade-offs between security and other things, right? I mean, your site could be completely secure if you just throw it on a thumb drive and lock it in a safe and don't put it on the web, right? And so there's some balance between ease of use, access, and performance that we're always trying to balance out with the security side. And like, that's one of our big focuses in Monarchs, and probably why we play so well with Servbolt, is not just do we need to be able to win this arms race and be able to block all this unique new malware, but we need to do it in a performant way that doesn't slow down any of the servers, the sites on the servers. Because really, in the end, the whole reason for doing this is for the end user so that they have a better site. And a better site is both clean and performant.
Right.
And it adds a whole new layer of challenge to it.
Yeah.
But it's an important one to address.
Awesome. Aaron, what you reminded me there of, in a former time, I was a school principal, and we had to deal with school security, and it was my responsibility to put a gate in. And so, like, all right, we're going to put a gate up there. Well, and it had like an access pad. The problem with a gate is that it slows you down. I didn't have to stop here before. I could just walk right into the school. And it's like, all right, well, but what happens when someone just like props the gate open? All right, well, now you've lost all of your security, because if you make the gate too difficult to go through, and it's not like I buzz in and there's no one there to help, and if it's too much, then we lose all security, because too much security isn't any security, because it's not usable. So finding that balance.
Yeah, if someone's site slowed down, and they would immediately get upset at Servbolt.
But
they
it's super secure.
They would complain to Servbolt. And if Servbolt then went, oh, that's because of Monarch's malware protection on your site, that they would be like, well, how do I turn that off?
Yeah.
And that's terrible. That would be propping the gate open. So we absolutely have to do better. Can we, in your gate scenario, can people's badges be RFID so it
there
recognizes them as they're getting there? Unlocks the gate so they can just push
right
through
in.
It, right? That's the level of like thought and effort that has to be put into all
Love
of this.
That. Yeah, very cool.
If you're thinking about switching email platforms but dreading the migration, OmniSend makes it easy. They'll move your automations, templates, and contacts for you, so you're ready from day one. Plus, you get support whenever you need it. It's a smoother way to start fresh without starting over. Just head over to omnisend.com/openchannels and get 30% off your first 3 months with any plan. If you build stores for clients, WooCommerce gives you the flexibility to create exactly what merchants need, Customize workflows, extend with thousands of integrations, and scale without switching platforms. You stay in control as every store grows and evolves. It's built for the way builders and agencies actually work. And best of all, it's the open source way. You can learn more simply by visiting WooCommerce.com.
Mark, I would love to hear some of the stories that you have, because I'm sure you have stories of some of those like vulnerabilities. Like, what are you seeing that is new that you guys haven't necessarily seen a lot of before? Where are some of the trends in security that we should be paying attention to?
Oh, big question. I think, so coming just from the vulnerability perspective. So I was talking to like a few months ago with our, you know, principal research guy, like the head of our like our ethical hacker army, basically. He's like the overlord.
Ethical hacker army. I just want to stop right there and just, that's a great phrase. I love that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the forces of good and evil, right? So you know, there's a lot of good hackers out there. So that's you know, there's good guys fighting the fight as well. But he, so, you know, he's, so we classify, a little backstory. So we classify vulnerabilities by like, you know, low, medium, and, you know, high priority. Mm-hmm. And we don't actually do anything for like low priority, you know, vulnerabilities, because these are something that you really can exploit under real life circumstances. So, you know, it's just basically fatigues people, you know, to send them news about like vulnerabilities that aren't really dangerous. So we just, you know, basically don't have to address those. But we had a conversation and he said that what we are starting to see is that, you know, previously vulnerabilities that weren't dangerous, you know, they're out there, they've been out there for a while, you know, they're not that easy to exploit, but suddenly attackers have access to AI tools. So suddenly, you know, an attack campaign that took like a long time and a lot of complexity and skill to put together.
Yeah.
Same thing you were mentioning, right? It's now they're doing that in seconds. They go like, okay, can we chain like these together, use this vulnerability to achieve this automatically, and then automatically achieve this. And finally, you get access to like something that wasn't a risk, but now is, because it's like, it's so easy to do those things.
Yeah.
And so that's a scary pace.
Yeah.
Like the attackers are very, very good at basically monetizing AI.
Okay.
And it's an interesting thing, because it's... like defenders are always like, you know, do we have to pay for security? It's like, that seems like a drag. But attackers are always motivated financially. They have very strong incentives to learn and like craft better strategies. So they're a few steps ahead. And just the AI is speeding stuff up.
Okay, so I want to stop on this for a second, because motivations are very important to me. Like, security, yeah, we should definitely have security, you know, just kind of like a list of things that we need to have. But let's just sit a little bit in this security. What are the bad actors? Like, what is motivating? And like, and specifically, how do they benefit from in unsecured websites?
Oh, I mean, usually, they're pretty creative.
Most common.
I would actually say Monarchs has a lot more insight here into like what we did, because we just published a white paper and we collaborated on the white paper. So we looked at like, you know, main vulnerability statistics from 2025, and we asked Monarchs for some input into like what are hackers actually doing once they get access.
Yeah.
So we know how they get access. But Monarchs can see like what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
So I think I'll probably give that to you to answer.
All right.
But let me think. I'll probably have some anecdotal experience. So okay, one example. Actually, this is a real life story. This was, I think, last year. There was an agency that came to us after they've had an incident. Because after you've had an incident, suddenly security becomes very important.
Sure.
So they were like, they got compromised. Their client's website got compromised. And so what the attackers did was they redirected all of the Facebook ad traffic to like some malicious, like, you know, other pages. But
because everybody on Facebook is super savvy and, you know, they're not going to get tricked by...
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. But no, but on the Facebook, they would see a normal ad, but it would lead somewhere else.
Ooh.
But obviously, these days, malware uses cloaking techniques a lot. So it's like, you know, if you're like the site owner or agency owner and you check your landing pages, everything is good. Like, it's fine. Yeah. But, you know, they can really control, like, who goes where. And that agency didn't realize the problem until they had lost, like, six figures in ad revenue, which they had to bankroll, basically. So they had to pay that, because the customers were like, I'm not paying, like, you wasted like $200,000 or something dollars on our ad revenue. Like, we're not paying for that, for like, you know, the hack traffic.
Sure.
So they had to eat the cost. And compared to that, like, by the way, like, then security starts to look real cheap. So it's a few dollars here or there. It's like, that's good. But, you know, it's I'll give it to you, I think, to, like, dig into the malware, because you guys have some pretty interesting cases, I think.
All right, Aaron, scare me a little bit. There is a ride here at CloudFest where you can, like, go through. It's like kind of like Disneyland has the Haunted Mansion. It's a similar thing, but, like, here you actually go to hell. It's intense. Scare me a little bit.
I mean, first of all, he hit on probably one of the biggest ones, which is redirecting to malicious sites, specifically to essentially steal money, if you can, from ads and such, right? That's one of the big ones. I mean, you see everything. It all comes back to money, but you see everything. You see everything from crypto miners, which may be a little easier to find, actually, because they tend to suck so many resources that even the host sees them right away. But ads on sites, redirecting paid ads to other places so that they can promote things, even selling products straight on sites, or faking your login page or whatever to just steal your customers' details so that they can then go get money from your customers in various ways. It basically anything that you can imagine that you could make money on the web, but doing that by stealing it from someone else along the way, right? That's the thing, is you just see that. And then you see them hiding it. The bit that he mentioned about how, as a site owner, you don't see it. They've gotten more and more creative over the years. And so, if you go straight to your site, when I go to my site, I always just type it in the URL bar because I know where my site is.
Right.
But if my site is compromised, it probably looks fine when I do that. But if I do a Google search and follow a link to my site and Google was the referrer, then it might redirect to someone else's site who's claiming to be me and doing whatever. Or maybe if I had paid ads out there, maybe it's only when it's coming in from a Facebook click that it redirects. And so they do that in order to just stay on the site longer. The longer it takes the site owner to recognize it, the longer they can be siphoning off money from that company, which is why companies like ServBolt have companies like us that catch that ideally without the site owner needing to notice.
Yeah, I think the noticing part, I've always, I'm a tech-savvy guy, and, like, I go to a website and, like, oh, that's fishy, they spelled that thing wrong, or the logo doesn't look quite right, or something's different. AI is making me look dumb, because I can't tell anymore.
For sure. All those little telltale signs where there were mistakes like that are almost completely gone with AI. When they're faking a page, they just are telling AI, go grab this page and change all the links to do this
all
thing
the
instead.
Links. Everything is like it looks perfect.
Right. And that's because, like, bit for bit, it basically is.
Yeah.
And no mistakes made by the AI in that case.
Yeah. No, AI is good at doing that, much better than someone who English wasn't their, was the second language and different things like that.
And it's just a lot simpler than, like, we all see, like, AI images and we're like, oh, that dude's got six fingers. Yeah. Like, we noticed
but
that.
But many times, not anymore.
But, like, right. Yeah. But the images still often have some of those telltale signs. But something that AI is really good at is text-based code.
Yeah.
And that's what they're copying now. Yeah. And it's just fantastically good at that.
And it's going to get better and better.
I'll add to that, because here's, like, an irony, right? Like, AI is, like, really powerful, really good in the hands of, like, capable attackers.
Yeah.
But AI also sucks in the hands of, like, a very incapable developer. So you have this compounding effect. You have, like, really clever AI attack solutions, but now we're vibe coding. So, earlier you asked about, like, what trends we see. So we see the vibe coding trend, and, people are also vibe coding, like, plugins in the WordPress space. Mm. And, there's also, like, the fully vibe coded apps. But, we see vulnerabilities there as well, like, basic things that, the AI ignores to do that leads to, like, a little security bug in the code base. And if you're not a developer, even good developers have security box. Like, yeah. Actually, like even the really most reliable software gets security box, serious ones. It just happens. It's just like, you know, it's what you do about it.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what you're looking at, you look at this code, go like, this looks great. Like, thank you, Claude. You know, this is, let's push to production.
Goodness.
And then, you know, our researchers are just like going there sitting like, uh-huh. That's interesting. Who made this?
Yeah.
We had, and this is, I don't know if this was vibe coded, but I'll give you like a, this week found like a new vulnerability.
Did you? Okay.
There was, we found thousands, I think, on a monthly basis.
Wow.
But so there was one that was like, it's a little side topic, but it was something like an AI endpoint issue.
Okay.
Where basically if you type in like, you register a user for a website, uh-huh. You type in like an email of an existing user and hit enter, it just logs you in instead of like
goodness. Jeez.
Which is like, how the hell, who made this?
It was an AI bot. Andrew, I'm going to jump back to you real quick. Do you have any more specifics about examples, use names or not, but from the client's perspective, what are some of the things that you're seeing? And again, kind of like the need for this layer of security and maybe some of the technical perspective that you have.
I think the first thing is to echo what Aaron's been saying. It comes from stupidity quite a lot.
What are you trying to say?
Well, one customer, they had a new website made by an agency. I don't know the agency's name, but inside the functions.php, they had actually left a malware in there when they handed over to the customer. And it's exactly like you say, people come to the site direct, it looked fine. But from ads, from this, from that, it was going all over the place. And it's just ridiculous that they can't trust their supply chain. And so we felt, got to step up there a bit more just to protect our customers. There's other problems as well. Technically speaking, our hack site generally tends to take a lot more energy.
Yeah.
Tends to be a lot more noisy. And we just don't want that on our servers.
Sure.
We have a quality
of service. It costs you money.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It really annoys the other people on the server.
Which will then cost you money eventually.
Yeah. And, I mean, technically speaking, well, other things like WordFence, they really slow the machine down or the website down to be able to add protection. And that to us is just not a good thing. We want to be able to maintain that performance. Milliseconds count. And that's why both these gents here, their companies work well for us, especially Monarchs. Very low level on the operating system. Really, we notice it as a blip rather than as a nightmare.
Yeah, and, there you go.
that for us is just really important. And I don't know if Aaron mentioned how many websites tend to look like they've been hacked at some point, but when we turned it on for the first time, oh my God. Really, oh my God.
Turn it back off.
Yeah. And every customer thinks that they're safe.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue until it gets turned on and they're like, oh God.
Yeah.
And okay, it might not have been active at that actual problem, that hack, that time, but still, it's sat there waiting, and painful.
Right,
Aaron. I mean, that's the real problem with a lot of malware is essentially backdoor, right? The first thing they do is drop a piece of malware that lets them in to drop other stuff whenever they want, and that can sit dormant for quite a while, and you may not notice it on your servers. Certainly the end user isn't noticing it, but it's a constant risk sitting there because it could suddenly start sucking up resources and being that bad neighbor on the site. And so by coming in, and you mentioned the numbers, we usually on average when we launch on a new host see about 30% of existing users have something like that. One in every three has something like that on their site. And by going through and taking care of that, what we're doing ideally is making sure that you can offer all the resources of that server to your customers like you want to. You can use these resources for a performant site, and we know that they're not going to be sucked up by something bad any moment, right?
Sure.
And so that's what we try to do, and we try to do that as efficiently as possible.
Awesome. Love it. Well, as we're starting to wrap up, I'm just going to give you guys each a chance to kind of summarize what are we doing here? What does this relationship mean to you? I'll start with you. Summarize what does this relationship mean to you? And then, also how can someone find you online if they want to get a tattoo or, you know, learn more about Patchstack?
Yeah. You know what I was thinking, and this is something our support engineer actually came up with. Like, we are really good with Patchstack at you know, finding and you know, blocking those vulnerabilities. So we do that really well. We don't really want to do anything else. We want to specialize. But it's like, you know, Patchstack is like a very perfect fence around your website.
Yeah.
But I would encourage anyone, before you put that fence up, maybe go to Monarchs and like maybe look at that your house before you put the fence up. Because if you put a fence up after the robbers have been in the house, I got news for you. Like, I think you should be focusing on, you got other problems. But that's the thing. It's like, make sure your site is clear first. We have sometimes customers coming in and they go like, you know, but can you also clean my site? And like, okay, hold on. You need to deal with this first.
Yeah.
Like, we can't, yes, we will protect you from new stuff, but you've got a problem now.
Yeah.
And that's something else, somebody else needs to deal with it. But that's a relationship. And there's other ways people can get into your site. You know, it's like, and you know, for the readers, listeners, one more time, your password was pizza123.
Yeah.
You know, if they get in with that, you need something else. So, you know, it's the perfect example of the layer, right? So
got it. If I put an exclamation mark at the end, does that help?
Well, thanks for telling me one. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all I gotta say. Think about layers. You know, it's like different solutions for different problems. And you know, if they're good for performance as well, you know, extra points, right?
All right. Host. Very cool.
Yeah.
And patchstack.com.
Patchstack.com.
All right.
Check out the site. We got some interesting research as well. I mentioned the white paper we did with Monarchs.
All right.
Read that. A lot of interesting, slightly scary data about like what's going on in that attacker world. But I really recommend everybody.
So some
to
good
read
nighttime
that.
Reading before I try to fall asleep and just
lights off, you know, campfire style things. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
And I'll go ahead and throw out one of those scary details since he just brought up that white paper that we did together. The average time that we're seeing from when a exploit exists to when it's actually being, well, for, I guess from when the vulnerability is found to when it's actually being exploited on sites, looking across a whole year's average, 5 hours is the new time.
Goodness.
It used to be days or even weeks. 5 hours, and it is definitely actively shrinking.
And AI is just going to make it faster.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why we have to be able to look ahead instead of behind. So I think that as far as you asking about like how we work together and how this all kind of sits from the Monarch's point of view, I love this setup with ServBolt because I think that they're doing it right, and it's one of those great chances to see kind of the perfect setup in action, the network layer being protected, and then Monarchs coming in and keeping the servers clean and protected and sitting in the runtime to be watching requests as they're coming through and then patch. Like it gives that sort of layered approach that we have said literally for decades in our space that the right approach to security is a layered approach.
Yeah.
But it used to be that was the best approach, and now it is the only approach that still works because the level of attacks has changed such that if you don't stop some of them at every layer, you will not be successful. And so I love working with these companies that are taking best in breed at every layer and really doing that. And so it's been great to see it really working.
Cool.
And you can find me at Monarchs, Monarx .com.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Aaron. Andrew.
Wow. After these two guys. No. I mean, what we've done is exactly what you're saying. We created a shield of products, with Patchstack and Monarchs doing their bits, and then the IP blocking, and then the geosecurity. And then we've got a bunch of other things going on in the background, which we do through Cloudflare to protect them, you know, XML RPC, to protect the login page, to protect this. It's a layered approach. It absolutely has to be. And we realize it's a moving target where we're constantly looking to make it better and better. Will we get there? Well, apparently not. that's the thing.
Constant race.
Yeah.
Constant race.
Yeah. And we just got to try our hardest. And I like the challenge of it, to be honest with you. It's kind of fun. And we've seen a dramatic improvement from having Monarchs and PatchStack on board.
Yeah.
It gives security... I'm going to talk about WordFence again, because people were installing that all over the place and they were complaining, hey, my website's slow,
Yeah.
And that's just a nightmare.
Sure.
Because they're just using the wrong tool. And I don't... Being a performant website host and then going, oh, let's straitjacket it, let's make it slower, let's do it.
Yeah.
It goes against the grain. And so choosing for products that can really make it sing at the same time, that's the way to go, certainly from my point of view.
Very cool. So if you're looking for a host that is implementing both PatchStack and Monarchs, head on to servebolt.com.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. Very, very cool, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much. After this conversation, I'm going to go change my password at 2 exclamation marks. I think ought to do it. Hope you guys have a wonderful last day here at CloudFest. It's been great talking with you under the big top and this carousel thing. I don't even know where we're at. I'll give you guys some time to hopefully go ride some roller coasters or get another tattoo or, you know, whatever it is. But thank you so much. This is Adam Weeks for OpenChannels.fm.
We would like to thank Omnisend.com and WooCommerce.com for supporting OpenChannels FM. Till the next time, take care.